Well, Dr. Peter Larkins competed as an Olympic track athlete himself and later went on to a medical career that saw him at various times team leader of medical services at the Sydney Olympics, team doctor at two AFL clubs, and past national president of Sports Medicine Australia. He says it's become clear that elite athletes across a range of sports have established on the grapevine that the sleeping drug Stilnox, while not on the World Anti-Doping Agency banned list, can give users a stimulant-like high. A short time ago, Dr. Larkins told me that even so, he was staggered by today's revelations of private abuse of Stilnox by Australian relay swimmers.
Absolutely. I mean, given there was a fair bit of publicity leading into the 2012 year, regarding the potential hazards of its use and the fact that it was actually stated by the Olympic Committee that it was not allowed to be used by the Olympic team, I was quite amazed that actually any Olympic athletes were still using it.
So how would you describe this type of use of the drug, this behaviour?
It's absolutely against all medical indications. I mean, there's been well-known publicity that Stilnox can have a paradoxical effect. So rather than being a sedative sleeping tablet, which is what doctors use it for every day successfully, there's been documented cases where certain people have a heightened stimulation from it, and it's been used in the nightclub scene mixed with some of the energy drinks to provide, dare I say, an ecstasy-like effect, as the athletes have described it. So, you know, the fact that there is a potential abuse of it indicates that the athletes are prepared to do something which is against both, performance-enhancing and any drug code.
So there has been previous experience of this, of groups of athletes. I think it was the Queensland Rugby League team prior to their final State of Origin match at one stage, individual Manly player, various other athletes using Stilnox in this way to have this paradoxical stimulant effect. So the question is, has this spread amongst athletes of a way of using a drug that will get you high but is still legal?
I think the answer must be yes. I mean, you know, word travels pretty quickly these days with all the communication. So when you hear about a story, and it was well publicised, the rugby league story, and you know, whether or not you're a swimmer or a tennis player or an AFL footballer, you're going to hear the story. And if you think, gee, I didn't realise Stilnox can be an upper as well as a sleeper, then clearly if you're the type of athlete who's prone to wanting to flaunt the system or take a chance, then it will spread. And here we have an example in swimming, but that doesn't mean it's the only sport. I agree with you, it's probably been used elsewhere. It is legal, it's not a performance enhancer in the WADA code, but clearly it's designed and to be used for a reason other than what these athletes are using it for.
Given that I would have thought swimming team officials would have been aware of these previous instances in other sports of it being used this way, weren't questions asked even then about the fairly widespread prescription of Stilnox amongst swimmers? I mean, we read even Michael Phelps takes it to combat time zones. Didn't they ask questions then about if we're handing out Stilnox on prescriptions, might it not be abused?
Reasonable question for you to ask, but I thought that was asked. I mean, Grant Hackett made a very public confession that part of his problems of his rage behaviour and his problems in his marriage were associated with his reliance on Stilnox as a drug during his swimming career. And the swimming world from that moment on was put on notice that Stilnox probably wasn't the drug that the swimming doctors should be prescribing. And as I said to you before, it was made clear to the Olympic athletes, and Stilnox was a banned substance by the Olympic Federation at London Olympics. So how athletes were getting hold of it clearly wasn't from their Olympic swimming doctors.
Where did it come from, do you think?
Well, it would have come from a GP, a family doctor. I mean, you know, as I said, I can prescribe Stilnox to you today. I'm not breaking the law to do that. So if a doctor is...
But they broke the law to share it.
Well, I mean, certainly it's not illegal to share it, technically, but clearly it's not wise to share medications that have been prescribed for one person and given to another. But then that's the precedent's been set in athletes doing that before. It's happened at AFL level. So again, it's bad behaviour, but if you're saying to me, you know, is it never happened before. It has happened before, yes.
Just one last question. It's not strictly medical, but just from your experience of dealing with athletes, is it strictly necessary that athletes have these bonding sessions, that they've become such a critical necessity for the performance of teams, it seems? Because there seem a lot of negatives about
them. Well, I mean, that's an interesting psychosocial question, isn't it? I mean, it's not a medical question, you're right. I mean, it's part of the culture of sport, that bonding sessions, whether they're pre-season training camps for a soccer team or a rugby team, or whatever bonding means. I mean, look, I think, unfortunately, the Australian swim team is certainly performing well below expectations, and perhaps this is another case where this particular bonding social session just cuts to the core, that the swim team doesn't have the discipline or the focus of the swim teams of a decade ago when Australia ruled the world. And I think that may be symptomatic of a problem within swimming.
The sports physician and former athlete, Dr. Peter Larkins.